the yes to what is love. Byron Katie, a spiritual teacher, has a book out. It's called Loving What Is. A yes to what is. But the love, people are looking for love or try to be loving, never having gone beyond object consciousness. And they have an object in their mind, which is a me, which says, I need to be more loving. And they try hard. It doesn't work. I've tried so hard to love, but he let me down. Now, letting down is an interesting expression. And it can be applied to anything in the world of object consciousness. Belief system, for a while it's great, it's your support in life, it's all I believe, this is how it is, and suddenly something happens and you can't explain anymore why this should happen to you because you believed all the right things. Thought structures let you down in the end. Things let you down because they don't give you the satisfaction that you thought they would give you for a while, and then they let you down. Situations that you go into that were great, one moment great, and then it let me down. I became the CEO, and then you get so stressed that you need hospital treatment. The situation let you down. You were so looking for something better in it. And people, he let me down, she let me down, everything. It's in the nature of things to let you down. Because letting you down means you had an expectation that they can't fulfill. In the world of form. You wanted something from the world of form that is only in the formless. You wanted something through future in the world of form, which is already here now. Places, too. You can look at the most ideal place and then you buy some land there and you build a house there, and at first it feels great. And then as you sit in that house, it wears off after a while. The beautiful view from the window is still beautiful, but it wears off. It's not that fulfilling inside after a while. If you operate within object consciousness. So even the most beautiful place will have certain drawbacks also that you only discover when you move there. Now, this does not happen if you stay with what is, because there's a freshness to every moment. But it happens when you are immersed in a story-based sense of self. So it's stepping out of that. Use the exit. If you can, and some of you can, the exit I just mentioned, stop thinking is one that is available to some of you already. Presence arises with such intensity that thought doesn't come in anymore except a few little fragments here and there. So I probably mentioned to you before, somebody asked me once what my main achievement in life was. I hadn't written the book yet, so there was nothing much for many years on an external level. And so I said, I don't need to think anymore. That's enough. The compulsion to think is gone. That's all. Now, the world doesn't value that too much. But that's okay. If I went to an enlightened employer and said that, I would he or she would give me the job. Because they would know how well you function in that state where you don't have to think. Can think, don't have to. And then a greater intelligence operates. That is the intelligence that is deeper or higher, whatever perspective you want to use, than thinking. Not separate from it. Thinking is an aspect of universal intelligence that operates through humans. One could say that the intelligence that operates throughout the universe, when it gets filtered through the brain or focused through the brain, becomes thought. One way of putting it. So in humans, there's a tendency of that intelligence to become expressed as thought. But humans also have the ability to transcend thought. And that's an evolutionary transition, if not to say leap, for humanity. Humanity has been thought-based probably for 1 million years. And now that cycle is coming to an end because it's becoming self-destructive. All cycles come to an end. It's an evolutionary cycle. Our gathering is part of that evolutionary impulse that is now in many humans to go beyond that limited consciousness that is identification with mind as a me. That limited sense of self. And that evolutionary impulse is in many human beings. And there are many who don't allow that yet because the old structures are still very dense. So there is an enormous push, one could almost say, within them for towards transformation. And yet there's a refusal to let go of the old structures, which is the old structures themselves hanging in there. And so then it often is the case that humans need to experience some disaster so that the structures break open. That's the grace of disaster. It breaks open heavy mind structures. The shell is cracked open. So there's grace. Look at it from a deeper level. There is grace in every disaster. From a limited point of view, you can't see that. That's the beauty of it. Divine grace is there also. And those who are open to that evolutionary impulse, as you are, don't really need the disaster anymore. That's good. Or you may need a final little disaster as the final push out of identification with mind. Maybe a little disaster will be enough. A beautiful saying of Jesus, take no thought for the morrow. It's the old translation. For the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. No thought. That's the old translation. The modern translation says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. There really, one, no thought is better, because to be anxious and to be thinking go very, very closely related.